In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of a hundred hellhounds. Cries of the banshee, terror of the Wendigo. You only can't see if there's nowhere to go. It's the creature.
Welcome to another episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore here on the Radio Horror Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
And tonight we are talking about the episode Clap Your Hands If You Believe, which has to deal with fairies. Originally thought to be aliens, but no, in fact, it's actually fairies. Something they had actually never covered on the show before. Mel has the plot synopsis for us for the episode.
So this was Season 6, Episode 9. It originally aired November 19th, 2010. What a great year. While Sam and Dean are investigating a UFO sighting, Dean is abducted from a crop circle. However, when he awakens, he discovers he isn't dealing with aliens, but fairies. Unfortunately, only Dean can see the fairy that keeps attacking him, which makes tracing and stopping them difficult. The brothers become even more perplexed when Sam's investigation leads them to a world full of elves, gnomes, and a leprechaun.
We get more fantasy creatures in one handful in this episode than we do anything else.
There's quite a lot mentioned.
What's funny is I don't think they've ever done anything with leprechauns before.
I don't think so. And I'm actually a little surprised that they did because, you know how, like, we've got our faux pas here, and, you know,
well,
you have to be
Crowley,
careful.
Who's from Ireland.
Yeah, but leprechaun is kind of a racist term in Ireland.
Oh, but it's also describing a magical creature, not a person.
Right, but people in Ireland don't really like the whole leprechaun thing.
Even though that is the name of the creature.
Yes.
Who's got the pot of gold and stuff like that.
Yes.
But for the fairies of the episode, Dean's encounter with them is he sees, like, nipples. So these are obviously naked fairies.
Heck yeah. I mean, if I was a fairy, I don't know if I'd... I mean, maybe I would wear, like, flower petals and stuff. I don't know how I'd sew them together, but, you know, that's fairy me's problem, not real me's problem. So flower petals might feel nice, but, like, yeah, who wouldn't want to be naked?
Fairies was the most interesting thing that was introduced on the TV series True Blood as well. That kind of came out of left field that, you know, it's revealed Suki is in fact a fairy.
I'm watching that series for the first time, so I'm just sort of waiting for that to pop.
That's why she's like the most, you know, tasteful human. Because she's part fairy.
Ah.
Part, yeah, so either that or she's full fairy, she's a fairy princess. I don't remember. I've only ever seen the series one time. That was enough for me.
I don't know, she's cute though.
What is the lore on fairies in the real world?
Actually, there's quite a lot of lore in the real world. So if you see a circle of mushrooms, it's considered a fairy circle and you stay out of it. Or if you really want to try to mess with fairies, which you really shouldn't, you go into the circle, you tell them your real name, which is a huge no-no in fairy lore. Fairies are always wanting to make deals and trades. They're easily baited. Sugar and cream is totally a thing. Like, you leave it out to appease them. You ask them for trades. Fairies replace your children in Appalachia lore. Like, if your child wakes up and they're, like, not acting themselves or they're acting good magically or something, you say, oh, no, my kid's been replaced by the fairies or stolen or taken by the fairies. So that's totally a thing in, like, real Appalachia lore. I don't know if it's just Appalachia or sort of all over, but I feel like, you know, because I'm from Appalachia, we've got, like, our own set of rules.
Where did fairies come from? Like, well, who was the first, like, culture to introduce fairies into the concept of anything besides literature?
Well, I think it goes back even further than Shakespeare, because, you know, Oberon is from William Shakespeare's play, A Midsummer Night's Dream. He plays the king of the fairies and the spouse of Titania. So aside from that, They're from Germany, you know, the Celts, you know, Ireland has their own set of fairy lore, Norse mythology, like the Dutch, pretty much everybody in that whole sort of area has different lores about fairies, but they all sort of coincide a little bit, but they just have different words for them in some situations.
Right, but I mean, fairy being like a made-up thing, was the first piece of literature mentioned, like who's a fairy, like where a fairy come from? Because the first time I've ever heard of fairy was obviously Tinkerbell from Peter Pan.
Really? When you and I were kids, did you ever read the Brian Froud
No.
books? Oh my gosh, I thought that was the absolute best book growing up. It was this giant book, and it had these masterful art drawings in it, and it seemed to me like this guy, Brian Froud, actually it was like an actual guide on fairies, like so similar to Supernatural, you know, the John's Journal, where I was convinced as a child that he had met these fairies and he sketched them and drew them, and he had little notes about each one, and that's where a lot of my notes today are from, my Brian Froud book from my bookcase. I was so happy to get it out. But he mentions, you know, all these Bogarts and brownies and gnomes and different these brigands and different things, and especially red caps. Like, it was just so exciting. I have to take a picture of my book.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fantasy follower. Here and there, hit or miss stuff. So it honestly, I think again, my first exposure to fairies was Peter Pan or like E.T. when they're reading the story of how to bring Tinkerbell back to life. So you clap your hands, you know, with Elliot's sister and his mother.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever think I ever heard about a fairy before,
Wow.
and I was like 4 years old. 5 years old, maybe. E.T. was on a re-release. So, what are some different ways you say where do fairies pop up in different cultures?
It would pretty much always be like a like the Twilight Meadow, or, you know, it's pretty much always mushroom circles.
In the Supernatural book, the word fairy is often used as a catch-all to describe the magical creatures that carry angels, demons and supernatural monsters, though in fact there are many different types of the fair folk, with the fairy being the small flying type made popular by Peter Pan's Tinkerbell. Fairies are also known as fairy fae, wee folk, and the side. The list goes on, varying throughout cultures around the world. Hawaii was the Menehune, points out executive producer Ben Edlard. There had been rural folklore about fairies for centuries everywhere. There's a ton of lore in Europe, especially in places like Wales, the UK, and Ireland, where you can't throw a stick without blinding a fairy. As it turns out, all UFO lore around the world is a big conspiracy to cover up the abductions by fairies. So get that sweet Tinkerbell image out of your mind. These creatures can be nasty, seriously nasty. Changelings replace fairy human babies as life-sucking monsters. Fairies bite and pack a mean punch. Goblins are small, mischievous creatures that hold lifelong grudges, tormenting those who have crossed them. Leprechauns track you out, trick you out of your firstborn, and snatch your neighbor's firstborns too. Red caps are murderous fairy thugs and get their name from their practice of soaking their hats in the victim's blood. Not all fairies are bad, mind you. Brownies will clean your house for room and board. Dwarves are too busy mining precious gems to bother humans. Elves are hardworking builders, clocks, shoes, toys, etc. If you know the spell to keep them, gnomes make great gardeners. Still, if you only get abducted and released as part of the fairies' alien and misdirection scam, consider yourself lucky. Though once you have been to the fairy realm, you are marked, and fairies can track the scent of your soul. If they come for you, you can show them, slow them down by getting them drunk and with cream, or making them count salt or sugar grains, which is something also used with vampires in certain media. But don't even try to
Right.
fathom why magically bound to do that. You can forcibly interact with them using iron and silver, but the only guaranteed way to get rid of them is by resetting the proper spell. Yeah, in certain media, hence why Count von Count is named the way he is, and he likes to count, is because you throw a bunch of seeds on the floor, a vampire will have to count them.
There's a bunch of different lore about different creatures and different witches and things to keep a jar of beans or buttons or something like that by the door in case you need to throw it really fast to have the creature count it. There's actually a couple of different sayings in this Brian Frog book right here about spells and such.
By the way, real quick, also forget the blue fairy who brought Pinocchio to life. Also, Maleficent is considered a fairy.
Right. So here in this book by Brian Froud, just called titled Fairies, described and illustrated by Brian Froud and Anne Allen Lee. It says here, another popular flower which is filled with danger is the bluebell. The Scottish name for the plant is Dead Man's Bells, for to hear the ring of a bluebell is to hear one's death knell. The bluebell is one of the most potent of all fairy flowers, and the bluebell wood is an extremely hazardous place to be, a place of the fairy woven spells and enchantments. The four-leaf clover will break a fairy spell. I don't know if that was mentioned in the episode. I believe not.
The Tooth Fairy is also a fairy. It originated in Great Britain. Of course, there's a movie called Darkness Falls, which is like a horror movie Tooth Fairy that tried so hard to be a good movie, and it just meanders in the plot line, but I still enjoyed it. And Sam and Dean never encountered the Tooth Fairy, did they?
I think he was mentioned at one point. Or
Because
no, remember when the kid brought the Antichrist kid brought everybody to life. I believe that was the episode, and the Tooth Fairy was the man that goes around pulling teeth.
Oh,
Creepy
right,
looking
yeah.
dude.
So they did do a Tooth Fairy. Interesting. Sometimes we do forget about some of the monsters that they have covered. We complain that they never got around to, like a mummy. And again, the mummy in the movie episode where they're in the black and white, classic style Universal horror, it doesn't count.
Right.
I wanted them to investigate like a full-on Egyptian exhibit in a museum, and a mummy came to
I
life,
thought that
like
would have
that
been
episode of
great.
Scooby-Doo, But I digress. But Morgan Le Fay, by the way, means Morgan the Fairy.
Yeah.
A water sprite is also a fairy.
So here I have the types of fairies mentioned in the episode. We
By
have
the way, a water sprite
Oberon.
is a fairy who plays a violin.
So mentioned in the episode, we have Oberon, Rumpelstiltskin,
Wait,
Leprechaun.
hold on. Oberon?
Yes.
Oberon is also the name of a new god in the DC Comics lore.
Interesting.
Yeah,
The
he
name was
hangs out with
originally used by.
hangs out with like Big Barda and Mr. Miracle and Obsidian.
What was the show?
Any DC Comics that has the new god show up.
Oh, gotcha.
You can he's been on the Justice League animated series. You can catch him on that. He's a really small guy.
So he was originally the name was originally used in Shakespeare's play A Midsummer Night's Dream. Have you read that?
Yes, I've read the Midsummer Night's Dream and I've seen plays of it.
So we
Did you
have
know that Disney has a
Oberon.
giant cancel ha is canceling out Tinkerbell?
Do you know why?
Yeah, because she's not the right image they want to send to little girls.
No, do you know the real reason why?
That skirt's too short and we can see her ass.
No, do you want to know the real reason why?
Dad's been caught jerking off to her. No, go on.
She every now and then, when there is a very high case of people being sexually inappropriate with the characters, they will cancel a character. Tinkerbell's not the first, but they just it's not the actor's fault. It's not Disney going woke or whatever anybody wants to call it. Like, sure, that may be a thing that's happening, but that's neither here nor there. It's just there's an incredibly high amount of sexual harassment towards the actresses that play Tinkerbell, and it's just, it's incontrollable when
Disney,
you have dads and grandpas or, people just getting handsy and feely and saying really disgusting things to people who are just there to do a day job.
I think the first character to get canceled out by Disney was possibly either Slave Girl Leia or Jessica Rabbit.
Tarzan was a big one. They used to have Tarzan in the park, but people just, you know, it's not even just men, but people in general cannot keep their hands off of certain characters. And I was really surprised that Tinkerbell lasted as long as she is, as long as she did wearing what she does.
I think in terms of like marketing wise, Jessica Rabbit and Slave Girl Leia are the first two Disney has just ignored.
For good reason. I can't believe they ever had Tarzan out there. Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine being that poor actor.
Yeah, but they need to bring back Jessica Rabbit back, but they don't need an actress to play her. They just need to, you know, just get that icon back out there.
I don't know though. You know, did you hear about the Studio Ghibli park over in Japan? How many people were being sexually inappropriate with the statues?
Right, but they don't need to have like people dressed up as a character to like, you know, put the character out there in some kind of media. So we're just not going to make Tinkerbell stuff anymore ever again.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like any sort of like depictions, like people just get gross.
Well, yeah, it's Florida. What do you expect?
Florida, California, whatever.
I mostly blame Florida. They're not quite like the rest of us.
I mean, that's true, but over in Japan, you have people licking statue butts, you know?
That sounds gross.
Yeah, it really was.
Do you have anything else about fairies?
Yeah, I have a lot. So the types of fairies mentioned in the episode, we have Oberon, Rumpelstiltskin, leprechauns, Tinks, not to be confused
Thanks.
with Twinks,
Okay.
elves, redcaps, bogarts, brownies, gnomes, goblins, hobbits, smurfs, spriggans, sprites, and trolls. Most of these are only mentioned in the episode. We brought up leprechauns earlier, the tiny man depicted with a red beard and running around with a coat and hat, you know, participating in mischief. They're after me lucky charms. Oh my God, that's like, oof. I can see why the Irish do not like leprechauns. All
The Irish
the
need to stop being so sensitive.
depictions. Oh, I don't think that they're sensitive. I just think it's a case of it's
Here's the
different
thing.
about pets not in school.
Here's the brass tacks. Do leprechauns originate from Ireland?
Yeah.
Okay, so then that means that a leprechaun's gonna have an Ireland Irish accent, right?
That isn't the problem, though.
Right, but it's like. I get they don't want to be called a leprechaun, kind of like a black person doesn't want to be called the N-word. So it's not like you can't do anything about the thing that comes from your country.
No, I'm with you.
It's not Ireland needs to be like uptight about it. It's just like people need to just stop being jerk-offs about things and calling Irish people leprechauns. That's just no different than anyone else being called like a woman being called a bitch or something. You know, it's. There's nothing you can change about a leprechaun because if they start trying to market a new kind of leprechaun that's not Irish and whatever, you know what I mean? That's not to say that they haven't tried showing like a black leprechaun or something, which is totally fine. But if you try to fundamentally change everything about being a leprechaun to something else entirely, people are going to get pissed. And eventually people in Ireland are also going to be like, who did that? You're speaking for us. We just didn't want to be called leprechauns because we're Irish. We didn't say change our freaking country's one well-known, you know, mythical creature. And I'm sure Ireland has other mythical creatures, but obviously the leprechaun is probably the most famous.
I hear what you're saying. I think it's just the general misconception. People
I
think
know
that
people are also
everybody
gonna.
who lives in Canada and Alaska all live in igloos.
Right,
People actually believe that.
and I understand people will be correcting me saying, excuse me, what about Halloween comes from Ireland? I'm like, well, that's not a creature, that's a holiday, but I digress.
When I was in elementary school, I had a pen pal in Ireland because we were all forced to do pen pals.
We all were.
And the little girl in Ireland wrote me back like this long thank you letter thanking me for not asking if the country was full of leprechauns. Because that's all 90% percent of all of the pen pals asked, what are leprechauns like? Do they all really live there? Do they re like, have you ever seen a real leprechaun? Like, apparently that was the entirety of it. And like, I could see it getting old real fast.
Definitely.
So Tinks, mostly associated Tinkerbell, obviously. In contrast to fairies, elves come from Norse mythology and can be found in Germanic and Celtic beliefs. Redcaps, Brian Froud describes them in his book that they're the most evil of all border goblins, and they live in old ruined towers and castles, which actually I've seen some of these described places in just in the woods growing up, just fallen stone structures. Bogarts are represented as here's a weird poem that I found. A tiny man no taller than knee-high glares at you. His entire mien is shabby and filthy, and his hands and feet seem disproportionately large. He clutches a pair of sharp scissors and mutters nastily to himself. Whereas I believe a Bogart in the Harry Potter world was, wasn't that the thing that changes into your worst fear? Or am I
I
mistaken?
was not a Harry Potter fan, so you're asking the wrong person.
I'm sure I'm going to get a ton of hate. That's not a Bogart, that's a Blogart. Like, I don't know. Brownies are considered legendary creatures in Scotland and England. The brownie is a type of hob that works at night in exchange for small gifts or food. Porridge and honey are their favorites. A regular tradition among rural folk is to take newly churned milk and sprinkle the corners of the house with it as a libation to the brownie. Never ever leave these gifts to a brownie as payment. Never refer to the gifts as to that you leave to a brownie as payment, or the creature will immediately leave and offer you no more assistance.
Gotcha.
Gnomes are dwarvish creatures that guard the earth's treasures underground. Goblins are ugly, grotesque sprites who are mischievous and sometimes evil. Hobbits are completely made up by J.R.R. Tolkien, imaginary race of humans that are very small with hairy feet and
Just like
eat
werewolves are
like
only
50
made up by
meals a day.
Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah, go look it up. People want to disagree with this, but go look up David J. Scowl. Go listen to the commentary on the Wolfman, the original Universal Monster movie, and he points out 99% of the werewolf lore comes from Universal Studios. None of that stuff exists
Wow.
in any pre-existing literature before Universal Monsters made the Wolfman. The Silver, the Full Moon, all that stuff. Yeah, there had been like anamorphic people. Whatever, that could turn into monsters or whatever, turn into animals, but all the lore about where all the lore was made up by Universal Studios.
Oh, wow. I need to research this. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so we got to switch over to dragons because I only have an hour to record all this stuff, so
Okay.
and the Zoom call is going to kill us anyway, so I'll send a new one. Well, that's all the information I have here on fairies, and Mel had so much more, but there's so much lore and history about their fairies. We're never going to be able to cover it all in like a half an hour. Mel, have you ever
Yeah, it
played
would
a
take a
fairy?
couple episodes.
Have you ever played a fairy before?
I don't believe that I have.
What the fuck, woman?
Right? What am I doing with my life?
Seriously, like all the photos I've seen of you lately, whatever, like there's this bevy of model photos of Mel popping up online like crazy lately. And I can't believe she's never played a fairy before. You never model as a fairy either?
Oh yeah, I've modeled as a fairy a lot.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, you must have modeled as a fairy even like in something sexual
I
too.
totally have played a fairy in like a it was little short films made about the synopsis of a book that I post for the cover of, but that'll never come out.
Gotcha. Oh, you mean like the book the author's never gonna put it out?
No, the book is out, but the trailer, the short film will never be out.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, don't forget you can find us over on the Supernatural Creatures and Lore group and our individual Twitters at Mel Heflin and at Christy SAV on X or Twitter. If you want to send us an email, you can at thatradiopower@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, or comment, and rate this on any platform that we're on, Amazon, iTunes. Rate us very high. Bring those algorithms up.
Seriously.
On iTunes, we are creeping over creeping towards over 100 reviews. If you get over 100 reviews on iTunes, they kind of bump your podcast up someplace. But you have to have over 100 reviews. So we are at 82 or 79 the last time I looked. I haven't looked for a while. So, but please go review over there. Check out Mel and a thousand different things that she's working on that happen to be all over the internet. So she's filming something every 5 minutes.
At least every month.
And we'll be back with another exciting episode in about a month with Supernatural Creatures and Lore.
In the shadows, you can hear the sounds, the rumble of 100 hellhounds, cries of the banshees.